Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Looks like there's a perfect shady spot right here in the middle. You like the sun. It's good for the health. Is that why? Huh? You like the sun.
It's good for the
health.
It's
good for the health. Is that why? Huh? When you listen to those...
You like the sun.
It's good for the
it's
health.
It's good
for
recordings. Health. You'll find out why.
Is that why? 15 minutes a day minimum. Minimum. And, okay. Text 18. Canto 10, Chapter 2. Tato jagan mangalam achutang sham. Samahitam shura sutena devi. Dadhara sarvatmakam atmabhutam. Kasta yatananda karam manastha. Let's do a little better this time. Everybody get ready. Tato jagan mangalam achutam sham. Samahitam shura sutena devi. Dadhara sarvatmakam atmabhutam. Kastha yatananda karam manastaha. Tataha. Thereafter. Jagat mangalam. Auspicious for all living entities. In all the universes of the creation. Achyuta amsham. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who is never bereft of the six opulences. All of which are present in all his plenary expansions. Samahitam. Fully transferred. Shura Sutena by Vasudeva, the son of Shurasena. Devi, Devaki Devi. Dadhara carried. Sarva Atmakam, the supreme soul of everyone. Atmabhotam, the cause of all causes. Kasta, the east. Yatha, just as. Anandakaram, the blissful moon. Manastaha, being placed within the mind. Translation thereafter, accompanied by plenary expansions, the full opulent Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is all auspicious for the entire universe, was transferred from the mind of Vasudeva to the mind of Devaki. Devaki, having thus been initiated by Vasudeva, became beautiful by carrying Lord Krishna, the original consciousness for everyone, the cause of all causes, within the core of her heart. Just as the east becomes beautiful by carrying the rising moon. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As indicated here by the word manastaha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was transferred from the core of Vasudeva's mind or heart to the core of the heart of Devaki. We should note carefully, that the Lord was transferred to Devaki not by the ordinary way for a human being, but by Diksha, initiation. Thus, the importance of initiation is mentioned here, unless one is initiated by the right person who always carries within his heart the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot acquire the power to carry the Supreme Godhead within the core of one's own heart. Paragraph. The word achyutangsham is used because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Shad Aishvarya Purna, full of the opulences of wealth, strength, fame, knowledge, beauty, and renunciation. The Supreme Godhead is never separated from his personal opulences, as stated in Brahma Samhita 539. Rama Dimurtu Shukalani Amena Tishtan. The Lord is never situated, the Lord is always situated with all his plenary expansions such as Ramanushring and Varaha. Therefore, the word achyutangsham is specifically used here, signifying that the Lord is always present with his plenary expansions and opulences. There is no need to think of the Lord artificially as yogis do. And here comes this often quoted phrase. Dhyana vastita tadgatena manasa pashyantiyam yoginaha. Bhagavatam 12.13.1. Yogis meditate upon the Supreme Person within the mind. For a devotee, however, the Lord is present, and his presence need only be awakened through initiation by a bona fide spiritual master. The Lord did not need to live within the womb of Devaki, for his presence within the core of her heart was sufficient to carry him. One is here forbidden to think that Krishna was begotten by Vasudeva within the womb of Devaki, and that she carried the child within her womb. Paragraph. When Vasudeva was sustaining the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart, he appeared just like the glowing sun, whose shining rays are always unbearable and scorching to the common man. The form of the Lord situated in the pure, unalloyed heart of Vasudeva is not different from the original form of Krishna. The appearance of the form of Krishna anywhere, and specifically within the heart, is called Dhamma. Dhamma, it's from yesterday's verse, refers not only to Krishna's form, but to his name, his form, his qualities, and his paraphernalia. Everything becomes manifest simultaneously. Paragraph. One sentence paragraph. That means it's important. Thus, the eternal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full potencies was transferred from the mind of Vasudeva to the mind of Devaki, exactly as the setting sun's rays are transferred to the full moon rising in the east. And the final, next paragraph. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, entered the body of Devaki from the body of Vasudeva. He was beyond the conditions of the ordinary living entity. When Krishna is there, it is to be understood that all his plenary expansions, such as Narayana and incarnations like Lord Nrsingha and Varaha, are with him, and they are not subject to the conditions of material existence. In this way, Devaki became the residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is one without a second in the cause of all creation. Devaki became the residence of the absolute truth. But because she was within the house of Kamsa, she looked just like a suppressed fire or misused education. That's the next verse. When fire is covered by the walls of a pot or is kept in a jug, the illuminating rays of the fire cannot be very much appreciated. Similarly, misused knowledge, which does not benefit the people in general, is not very much appreciated. So, Devaki was kept within the prison walls of Kamsa's palace, and no one could see her transcendental beauty, which resulted from her conceiving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Final paragraph. Commenting upon this verse, she, Vira Raghava Acharya, writes, Vasudeva Devaki Jata Rayor Hridayayor Bhagavata Sambandaha. The Supreme Lord's entrance into the womb of Devaki from the heart of Vasudev was a heart-to-heart relationship. Interesting. Vasudeva Devaki Jata Rayor Hridayor Hridayayor Bhagavata Sambandaha. A heart-to-heart relationship. Well, we're getting, as discussed the last two classes, we're getting detailed understanding so that we can have greater clarity on the transcendental nature of Krishna's janma. Because a very important verse in Bhagavad Gita is janma karma chame devyam evam yobeti tatvata chakva deham purnar janma naiti mami disorjana. By understanding the transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance and his activities, that's such an important understanding, and understanding it properly entitles one to not take birth again. So it's very important, and it's detailed. And it's not that if you don't understand the details, you can't go back to Godhead. But the details are there to help us understand the transcendental nature. Similar to Christianity, there's this theology of the Immaculate Conception of Christ. Anybody from America in the Christian world knows about that one. The Immaculate Conception. It's a Mother Mary, Virgin Mary had a baby boy. There's songs like that. So, although she conceived, according to the Christian theology, she conceived Christ without breaking her virginity, without the normal procedure of seminal injection, which is, we heard discussed in previous verses. So, one can accept that just on faith. And then somebody can say, I don't have faith in the scriptural teachings. How is this possible? So we're getting a description of how it's possible. How the Immaculate Conception of Devaki took place from the mind of Vasudev to the mind of Devaki. And Prabhupada is using this phrase, initiation or diksha, and it's not in the word for word. It's rather samahitam. Samahitam is fully transferred from the mind of Vasudev to the mind of Devaki.
And so then Prabhupada says, having thus been initiated by Vasudeva, Devaki became very beautiful. So that the Krishna carried within, the fullness of Krishna being carried within the mind of Vasudeva made him, we heard it yesterday, it's being repeated here, effulgent like the sun. Ravi is the word. Brilliant as the sun. The Bhagavatam is as brilliant as the sun also. So, we'll go through the purport. Well, one of the things that I find interesting is one of these mentions within the same purport, the second paragraph, last sentence, one is here forbidden to think that Krishna was begotten by Vasudeva within the womb of Devaki and that she carried the child within her womb. And the final sentence of the purport is, the Supreme Lord's entrance into the womb of Devaki from the heart of Vasudeva was a heart-to-heart relationship. Sounds like a contradiction, right? We're forbidden, and then he says it. And then, this is text 18 and text 41. There's specific language spoken by Shukadeva Goswami. Te kukshi gataha. She's being, one of the prayers of the demigods are saying that Krishna is within the womb. Te kukshi gataha. He is within the womb of Devaki. And we also hear that Kamsa understood that the eighth child of Devaki was within the womb of Devaki in part because she looked pregnant. And in part also because she looked so beautiful. He had seen his sister, not exactly sister, but sister, cousin sister, many, many times, and she looked so much more beautiful, looked so much more radiant. Splendor. And the splendor is there, we discussed this yesterday, because the all-opulent Supreme Lord, one of his opulences is his effulgence, or the influence of his effulgence, it was noticeable even by Kamsa. As Krishna was in the womb of Devaki. So, how do we understand this? And here's one explanation. From our pranam mantra given to us by Srila Prabhupada, his pranam mantra, nirvishesha shunyavadi paschyata desatarine, he wants us to be very clear in the transcendental nature of Krishna's janma, that Krishna appeared in a transcendental way, and his form is not material, and his activities are not material. So it's, how do you conceive of that which is beyond the capacity of the mind to conceive? By hearing. And that takes faith. It takes hearing from the right source also. You know, reposing faith in that which is worthy of faith. So the transcendental Bhagavatam is giving us this slow motion, clear picture of adhoksaja, he who is beyond the senses. But we're getting information about he who is beyond the senses for the audition of one of our senses, the ear and the tongue, to connect with transcendence. You have to hear from the right source. You have to hear with faith. And the potency is there to grant one entrance into that which is beyond material contamination, into the presence of Krishna. The Srimad Bhagavatam, again, is as brilliant as the sun, just as Vasudeva was as brilliant as the sun, because Krishna is present in his fullness. And that effulgence and the influence of the effulgence upon us just by hearing the message is perfect. We're covered big time. That's not just humility, that's just a fact. We're covered big time. Someone may be more pious, someone less pious. Piety isn't the standard of being not covered. Faith in transcendence is a covered person, a most sinful person. This is again and again within the Bhagavatam, again and again with just within the prayers of Prahlad, because I've been going over it so many times. There's no material qualification, disqualification. Bhakti is the qualification, and piety or impiety is not a qualification, disqualification. It's transcendence. The entrance into transcendence is dependent upon faith in transcendence. This dhamma, the word from the previous, yesterday's verse, and again today. Krishna's presence means dhamma. So Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's activities, specific, Krishna's paraphernalia. Krishna is everywhere. Prabhupada is, I was appreciating, preparing for this, the morning's class. Prabhupada has given us everything. The deity. The Bhagavatam. The name, the association of devotees, entrance into the holy dham by these five most potent activities, any one of which, according to Rupa Goswami, if done without offense, is sufficient to immediately awaken Bhava Bhakti. Very powerful. We're brought into association of the dham, Krishna's presence. We're most unqualified. But he surrounded us with impetuses for entrance into the dham. That's the gift. That's this, making reference here, the heart-to-heart relationship. Now, the heart-to-heart relationship was consummated because Vasudeva and Devaki were without offense. There was no obstruction to Vasudeva manifesting within his mind the form of Krishna. And it doesn't say he did some magic or kind of electric discharge from his touching the head of Devaki and phew, that's bogus. But because of their heart-to-heart relationship, he, Krishna, was transferred from the mind of Vasudeva to the mind of Devaki. And then Devaki carried, that's this, Dadhara, the third line, Dadhara, she carried Krishna within her mind. And that's this last word in the purport, a verse. Manastaha. Mana, it means mind. Krishna was fully transferred to the mind. Samahitam, fully transferred to the mind, manastaha, of Devaki. And in her mind, she carried Krishna. So, heart-to-heart relationship. We hear in Kunti's prayers, Canto 1, Chapter 8, of that same thing. Kunti was praying to Krishna that the material affection, that which is blocking my affection for you only, that the material portion of my affection for the Pandavas and the Vrishnis be removed. So there's only the heart-to-heart relationship, the soul-to-soul relationship with Krishna in the center. Vasudeva and Devaki had it. Similarly, the Shiksha of Shukadev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit and the Bhaktivedanta purports, Prabhupada is our Shiksha Guru, the capacity to transfer from the heart of the Shiksha giver to the one who's receiving Shiksha, one who reads Prabhupada's books, the potency is there. Whether it's a heart-to-heart relationship or not depends on us. How we're receptive to receive, as Devaki was receptive to receive Krishna. She was attached to Krishna. She was exclusively attached to Krishna. She had a relationship with Vasudev, and she was the exactly as Prabhupada explains in Kunti's prayers, or in the commentary, affection for others is natural. He goes on, you can't even live. You're dead if there isn't affection for others. So it's not kill affection for others. That's impersonal. But let the objective, Prabhupada's word, the objective of that affection for others needs to be focused upon Krishna. Krishna is to be pleased. Krishna's pleasure is everything, including in our affectionate relationships with one another so that they're heart-to-heart relationships. And let it start with our founder, Acharya, giving the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then the persons who are repeating the message of the Bhagavatam, who we're hearing from. There's the, you know, the potency is there within the Bhagavatam itself. That's the system that Prabhupada gave us. Even in his presence, he would have his disciples speak. He was examining their speaking, but also empowering their speaking. And then in his physical absence, his followers speaking, the potency is there. As long as we don't invent something, speculate something, just repeat the message. As Prabhupada said, I may be imperfect, but if I speak in the words of a perfect person, my speaking is perfect. The potency is there. The Dhamma is there because the Bhagavatam is there, the name is there, the deity is there, the association of devotees is there. Krishna Prasadam is there. We've been given everything. We've been given immediate access to Dhamma. I remember hearing twice, once in Brooklyn, once in Manhattan, Prabhupada saying, this temple is not in Brooklyn. It's in Vaikuntha. And then Manhattan, we moved. This temple is not in Manhattan, it's in Vaikuntha. And I heard later Prabhupada said the same thing in Los Angeles. Temple is not in Los Angeles, it's in Vaikuntha. He gave us the Dham. This process of bhakti is so glorious. We're unqualified to the max. You know, Prahlad was qualified, thinking himself unqualified. What does that put us? He was a Vaikunthavasi descending, thinking I'm unqualified because I'd taken birth in Hiranyakashipu's family, lineage of asuras. So what's our qualification? We're more disqualified. Still, we're the recipient of such mercy. My dear devotees, let's recognize the gift that we've been given. And by recognizing the gift that we've been given, the heart can open and have a heart-to-heart relationship with the gift giver. And the gift giving is on behalf of, ultimately on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who wants to give the gift of Vraja Prem. And we're dull, like heavily covered. Nonetheless, we're given the gift. And by sadhana, faithfully performed, carefully, attentively performed, taking the assistance of the Bhagavatam so we can understand it's not mythology. Not, you know, Immaculate Conception, notion, mythology, meant to, you know, be interpreted and understand it mean this means that. No. Offense. That's offense. It's worth going over the language of this again and again because this is the transcendental nature of Krishna's birth, understanding which one is not going to take birth again in the material world. So some of the language here that Prabhupada highlights, from the first line, tato jagan mangalam achutangsha. Achuta? Achuta, that's Krishna. He's never fallen. He's never bereft of the six opulences. Achuta. And he comes with all of his expansions. Narayana, Rama, Nrisimha, etc. When Krishna was in the mind of Vasudeva, he was there in his fullness. Shadaishvarya Purna mentioned in the purport. The full opulence. That's a lot of opulence. What's the opulence of the sun? Phew. And then what's the opulence of the source of the sun? That's the Brahma Jyoti. And the support of the Brahma Jyoti is Krishna. And in his full opulence, there he was. Wow. Then another message is the transfer from Vasudeva to Devaki was effortless. The reference that Prabhupada makes is 12.13.1. That's the very last chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's spoken by Suta Goswami about Shukadeva Goswami, glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam and Shukadeva Goswami, that dhyana vastita tadgatena manasar pashyanti yam yogina. As yogis have this mystic siddhi, Prabhupada translates it that way, yogis may get a mystic siddhi by dint of their fixing their mind upon the Lord of the heart. Prabhupada's point here, and in the Acharya's comment also, that's a big effort. What effort was Devaki effort? She didn't, you know, years and years and years and years and years of undergoing difficult practice to have Krishna fixed in her mind. By effortlessly, because there wasn't interference with receiving the mercy of Krishna being transferred from her husband to her. Effortlessly. So that the mystic power that yogis may achieve, it was already a subset of what Devaki had achieved. She wasn't interested in mystic power, but she had the capacity. And her effulgence and her beauty and other opulences were with her because Krishna was with her. Then again, this in the purport, this reference of Dhamma, the fullness of Krishna was there within her heart. And I find it interesting that explicitly Prabhupada is equating the two, heart and mind. And there is a distinction because otherwise there wouldn't be two terminologies, but they can be, in one sense, they can be used interchangeably. Heart and mind. Won't go into the detail because it's not relevant here. Then another term that's used in the verse, Ananda Karam. Ananda, we know what that means, is bliss. And karam, the like karana, the cause of bliss. So the moon, the blissful moon, is references made here. I'm going to read something from Jiva Goswami that explains this. The moon has a special function. Aside from what astrology says, moon has something to do with moods within the mind, but there's this benedictory nature or soothing nature, nourishing nature of the moon, the rays of the moon. Prabhupada would speak again and again, vegetables, vegetation grows not just by sunlight, but also requires moonlight. Without moonlight, vegetation isn't going to grow. You require both. Again and again would speak like that. So there's this, there's the heat of the sun during the day and then the soothing nature of the moon at night. Here's Jiva Goswami. He was like the moon which gives bliss because of its sweet rays. He was like the moon which gives bliss because of its sweet rays. So it's poetic. This Anandakara, it's a poetic expression. And so because it's a poetic expression, the indirect meaning is appropriately taken. The Anandakara, the sweet rays of the moon. Because, so the reference is, as the Prabhupada explains it in the purport, as the sun sets in the west, the rays of the sun are then transferred to the rays of the moon, which may then rise in the east. So the intense rays of the sun become then the soothing rays of the moon. And both are needed for vitality and tranquility and life. I'll just read. So Jiva Goswami comments on a commentary given about this verse, the appearance of Krishna, by Madhvacharya. And Madhvacharya had some number of temples, principal temples in Udupi. In the center one is Krishna, deity, Udupi Krishna, Madhvacharya. So very important to Madhvacharya is having a proper understanding of Krishna's transcendental nature. This is something that doesn't differ between the different sampradayas, the Vaishnav sampradayas. The personality of Godhead is fully transcendental. And he quotes from Tantra Bhagavat, this long verse, but he's smashing the impersonalists. I'm surprised Prabhupada didn't quote it in his purport. The foolish person covered by ignorance says, listen carefully, that the Lord, whose forms like Rama and Krishna are eternal and unchanging, incomparable and without any faults, accepts and gives up bodies. My body. So Madhvacharya was smashing Mayavad doctrine by this Dvaitavad. And that is, the material energy and Krishna are distinct. So the form of Krishna is not a material form, fully spiritual form. On seeing the appearance of Krishna or Rama in the world, he declares that they accept material human forms. They as this, the foolish, ignorant person, they accept that Krishna takes on a material form, although Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, those persons are mudhas. Avajananti ma mudha manushim taramashratam. So the transcendental, back to the transcendental nature of Krishna's janma is when he appears in the mind of Vasudeva. It's not the unborn, unmanifest within, taking on a form of material nature within the material mind of Vasudeva, etc., etc., etc. So Madhvacharya is making reference to Tantra Bhagavat, to scriptural authority, to confirm. Then he quotes, Madhvacharya quotes, Maha Varaha Purana. All the forms of God have eternal bodies without any faults. They never arise from matter. They are completely filled with the highest bliss and knowledge. You know, for us, this is really like, okay, that's ABC. Krishna's form is transcendental. However, the layers of contamination are very thick. And so it's needed to hear it again and hear it again and hear it again and hear it again from different angles under the authority of Scripture. And I'm going to lead one last read of a paragraph. Again, Jiva Goswami, and we'll end. This is the definition of the Lord, that is, fully transcendental form. He was like the moon, which gives bliss because of its sweet rays. The rest is according to the explanation of Sridhar Swami. Now, what Jiva Goswami, when he makes his, I learned this from Radhika Raman, Jiva Goswami doesn't detail things. He's addressing an audience that's educated. That's not us. But the educated audience will know what Sridhar Swami says because they're educated audience. So he doesn't have to detail. He just says the rest is according to Sridhar Swami. Or achutangsham, that's in the verse, can mean he who is not lacking, even on heart. He was complete with all his parts, Bhagavan. Therefore, he is the root form, Atma Bhutam, who makes his appearance as if offering himself. That's Samahitam, Prabhupada has said, transferred. So he's making his appearance. It's voluntary. He's not obliged. Vasudeva's not obliged. Devaki's not obliged. It's a pastime. Samahitam. By his mercy, he's appearing, transferring, appearing. It was previously mentioned that the seventh child would be the cause of joy and lamentation. That's within this chapter, chapter 2. Reference. Krishna says to Yogamaya, this seventh child will be a source of both joy and lamentation. The appearance of Krishna was a cause of joy only. He was the cause of joy for all jivas. He would appear personally, Atma Bhutam, unlike other forms which become the object of yogi's meditation with great effort, because he appeared on his own, Samahitam. Prabhupada doesn't go into it with much detail about equating this Samahitam, Krishna's transferring himself from the mind of Vasudeva to Devaki, and equating that with initiation or diksha. He doesn't show the correlation, one-to-one correlation. He just states it. And then states that this is the importance of diksha, because diksha is an act. This is in Hari Bhakti Vilas, where divyam gyanam yato dadyat kuryat, the transcendental knowledge is transferred at least potentially. Transcendental knowledge is transferred. Divyam Jnanam is transferred by the act of initiation. That is, when one receives mantra. Within the mantra, that's Dhamma, we've been hearing. And that transference goes with the name. And the name stands alone. The name isn't dependent upon anything or anybody or any circumstance. The name is, as Krishna is fully independent, the name is fully independent. So Divyam Jnanam, transcendental knowledge, is transferred along with the name. So that is to say, through that transferal process, one has access. Just like by worship of the deity, or by taking prasadam, or by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, by chanting the name, we have access. And then it's made, like, official, or, you know, there's a certificate. It's made formal by the process of diksha. Here's the name. Please receive the name. Divyam Jnanam is transferred. It's not that there isn't access to transcendental knowledge prior, because one can chant the name prior. And the name stands alone, fully independent, as Krishna is fully independent. But diksha formalizes. Krishna acknowledges the submission unto him in the form of his representative, the current link in the disciplic succession. Krishna accepts that submission, and Krishna gives himself. The deliverer, in other words, is Krishna. The deliverer of Divyam Jnanam is Krishna. And the process of receiving Divyam Jnanam and Krishna is given by Krishna, the initiation process. But there's the shiksha, like our appreciation we should have, of the shiksha of Srila Prabhupada. Anybody, everybody, out there in the public, who receives one of Prabhupada's books, has access to Divyam Jnanam by shiksha. Some purification is needed to receive it, but it's there. Divyam Jnanam, it's there. And so we honor the shiksha of our founder Acharya. We want to make that shiksha of our founder Acharya abundantly available. Like the other day, in great distress, someone was asking, terrorism. My son or daughter is off at school and, you know, gun violence, people can come in and, you know, destroy my son or daughter at any moment, and what to do. You know, what's the antidote to ignorance is transcendental knowledge. Propagate transcendental knowledge. We heard this statement by Srila Prabhupada. Knowledge that is kept in a clay pot, or like fire kept in a clay pot or a jug, it's not serving any purpose. It's not appreciated. Similarly, one may have Divyam Jnanam, and we're to distribute it. That's our service. It's not like, you know, Kartaham, I'm going to go save the world. It's a service. It's a service to the name. It's a service to the shiksha. It's a service to the deity. It's a service to the devotees. It's a service. It's a service that then makes the fulfillment of Divyam Jnanam accessible to us. We get mercy and purification from that very act of extending the transcendental knowledge. Well, whatever our capacity is, you may be here, you may be here, you may be there, you may be wherever you are. It's a service that enhances your access to Divyam Jnanam. And when knowledge is there, ignorance is removed. When ignorance is removed, suffering is removed. Material existence is removed. You go beyond material existence into the realm of transcendence. You go beyond nirvana, cessation of material existence, which is right there in the verse, purport. Krishna, who is in the mind of Vasudeva, then in the mind of Devaki, is beyond material existence. That's what we're hearing. What's life beyond material existence like? And how do you get it? It's really sublime. Any discussion?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. It's highlight the unique situations of Krishna's appearance in terms of, you know, the highlighting of coming with his full opulences and the external manifestations that were on both Vasudeva and Devaki, and also from Srila Jiva Goswami commenting that there's a difference. It seems that Krishna is doing on his own, is mentioned there. Now, when Krishna is present in the heart of the devotee, like Yamshama Sundara Chintya Guna Swarupam, then there is a difference on the presence of Krishna within the heart of the devotee as Shama Sundar, that when Krishna appears in the mind of Vasudev, there's a difference. My question is, what is the difference?
I don't know that there's a difference. Why should there be a difference?
Well, in one sense, I'm thinking that it, because so much highlight is the specific external symptoms of that, you know, Krishna appears at that time. Was not him before in the heart of Vasudeva?
Of course. But he chose to appear, but I'm not really clear what you're asking. In other words, so Krishna had this alila, the lila of Krishna's janma. And there's multiple purposes being fulfilled. One of them is reciprocating with the love of Vasudeva and Devaki. But there's many other purposes. With one thing, the Lord is fulfilling many things. So yes, he was there. And now he's appearing. Visible. And in that visible situation, the visibleness of his effulgence, Sadaishvarya Purna. But before, so if you're asking, I'm not sure what you're asking, but if you're asking before that appearance of Krishna within the mind of Vasudeva and then and the mind of Devaki, etc., where, what happened to the effulgence and the Sadaishvarya Purna, where was all of that? It was not by Leela not being exhibited, but it was there. They were pure devotees before, and they're pure devotees during, and pure devotees after. But it's a Leela of Krishna manifesting himself. In his fullness. And whether manifesting, not manifesting, is he there? Yes. It's in yesterday's purport. He's always there.
So just to understand, then Krishna can choose, at any time to manifest that. It doesn't have to be his Janma Lila, but
of course,
it can be at any time.
Like
for any devotee.
A nice example is Krishna's appearing to protect Maharaj Parikshit. And then he disappeared. And part of what he did was he stopped the Brahmastra, but another part of what he did is he gave his darshan to Maharaj Parikshit. And then he disappeared. So his whole life, Maharaj Parikshit is the examiner. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? So where did he appear from and where did he go to? He's everywhere. He doesn't have to appear from any place. He's already everywhere in his fullness. And then he made himself manifest. Says, he could have stopped the Brahmastra any way he wanted without showing himself. He showed himself. And then he disappeared. Other examples. Narada in his previous life. He showed himself, and then disappeared. He's always present. Prahlad, where is this Vishnu? He's everywhere. He's everywhere. There's this exchange. Not exactly the same. Well, it's interesting. 1971, Prabhupada in London, Revati Nandana, Prabhupada disciple, Revati Nandana, having a discussion with Prabhupada and others in the room about Paramatma. He's present within the atom. And then Prabhupada said, he's not alone. And then Revati Nandana, or one of the devotees, said, well, in Brahma Samhita said he's within every atom of all, you know, of all material existence. And Prabhupada then again said he's not alone. The living entity is also there within every atom. And then there's like, living entity is within every atom? Prabhupada, when you say the king is present, is he alone? He's present with his ministers and his entourage and everyone and everything and all of his paraphernalia. So within every atom is all of the paraphernalia of the Supreme Lord and all of his opulences and the living entity. He's not alone. Now, where's the scriptural reference for that? I've asked scholars and they don't have an answer to where the scriptural reference is for that. But as he is everywhere, he's not alone. He's there with all of his opulences, and he may manifest himself or not. As we heard yesterday in purport, he's already within the mind of every living entity, but he, obscured by ignorance. Okay, I saw Raktuk's hand up.
Hare Krishna. When you say Krishna is everywhere, does that extend to infinity?
Well, I don't know what you mean by does that expand to infinity. Do you know what you mean by that question? Does it expand to infinity? That which is without limit. So he's there in the spiritual world. The spiritual world is without limit. He's in the spiritual world. And he's in the material world. There's no restriction. He's everywhere. So he's within the spiritual world and the material world. How's that? Okay.
Maharaj, you were explaining about Diksha and you were saying that it is upon us to have a heart-to-heart connection with the spiritual master.
Yeah.
So, what are some ways that we can deepen that connection with the spiritual master?
Did you get it? Could you say it? You speak so softly, but he speaks
You were speaking about initiation.
Yeah.
And that it is a heart-to-heart connection. So what are some of the ways in which that connection can be strengthened with the spiritual
master?
What
are some of the ways in which that connection can be...
Strengthened.
Strengthened. Well, it's two main things, the obstacles and placing Krishna at the center. So placing Krishna at the center helps remove obstacles, and the desire to have the obstacles removed so that Krishna can be clearly at the center. You know, you start at this end or that end, but those are the two strengthening forces. And a practical way to strengthen is chanting of the holy name. It's our primary means of deliverance from disconnect to connect. And so how do we access connect with the name without the spiritual master connection? And if we properly take the spiritual master connection, then that means we're going to be more, you know, more clearly, directly, unobstructedly connecting with Krishna. I would recommend the starting point is, well, how you chant the name, because we do that without fail every day, and similarly how you read the scriptures, because we're reading Shukadev Goswami or Krishna speaking Bhagavad Gita, and then we have the access to all of that through the Bhaktivedanta purports. I mentioned yesterday this one fellow at the evening program on Wednesday had read Srimad Bhagavatam multiple times without the Bhaktivedanta purports before he even met devotees. And somehow, I don't know the circumstance, but he said, I gave him a copy of Krishna book. Maybe it was we were promoting Krishna books and he got a copy of Krishna book or something. But there's Prabhupada's simplified commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, which he had been reading, and you know, at least the 10th canto Bhagavatam. So how do we get entrance into the Bhagavatam's message without the Bhaktivedanta purports? And similarly, how do we chant the holy name without access to the holy name through the disciplic succession, through the line of spiritual masters? We don't approach Krishna alone. Some people may want to do that, but that's not Krishna's process. So those are some ways, chanting and hearing, Shravanam Kirtanam. And then Archanam, same principle. Yeah. Different question.
So this is from yesterday's class?
From yesterday's class.
So yesterday we were discussing the holy name is like Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta.
Yeah.
And I was thinking that it's same with the books also.
Yes, correct.
So, when we go for book distribution, then there are some people who say that, we are meat eaters and it's not appropriate for us to put the book in our house because, our house is too contaminated and it's not pure enough to have a book like that in our house. So, how can we respond to such a...
Krishna is very kind. The sun can shine in the window of a dark place and illuminate it. And the sun isn't contaminated by shining into a dark place or into a filthy place. It helps make the dark place or filthy place illuminated or purified. How else are you going to get purification? It's not by piety. Sorry. It's by mercy. That's how.
How can we explain to them?
I'm telling how you can
explain
to them.
Oh, this is what we have to tell them. Okay.
There's mercy. And that's the way that our acharyas have given. If the place is dark, you bring in light. If the place is impure, you bring in that which is supremely pure. The supremely pure doesn't become contaminated. If you're concerned the house is not clean, make it clean. Don't say, no, I won't invite that which is going to make the contaminated atmosphere better. Make it clean. That's nice. That's nice. More than nice. It's respectful. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for your class. You were mentioning chanting the holy name and the five most potent forms of devotional service. So my question is regarding that is that when the miseries of our life pile up on us, in the material world, the tendencies that people turn to alcohol or drugs, etc. But for devotees, I'll speak for myself, the tendency is maybe to turn to, like, you know, YouTube, TV. Because when you chant the holy name or read Bhagavatam, sometimes the tendency is that this is so boring. So what should our prayer be? Because it seems like it's an offensive prayer when you're chanting the holy names. Lord Krishna, please don't make this. This is boring. Please help me. Or you're reading a Bhagavatam, but that seems like an offensive prayer. So what should our mood be when we're praying, when we're getting no taste, et cetera? So.
Well, a very simple answer. The mode of service. The disease is, I want to enjoy. The remedy is I want to serve. Because in the I want to enjoy, we're still the servant of the senses. And that's the definition or the paradigm of enjoyment that I'm habituated to, addicted to, is sense enjoyment. And the mind likes to go there. And the mind doesn't like to go over there. Because it's boring. It's service. But it's not boring. It's the life of the living entity. And so, at least for the practitioner, spend some time each day in the mood of service to Krishna. And it's great where there just isn't any sense gratification at all involved. Now, even with musical kirtan, it can be, you know, a sense gratification. I enjoy music. I can dovetail my enjoyment for music with the name. Fantastic. I'm feeling enlivened. But so japa is imperative to go along with the name. And, you know, depending upon the person who you're speaking to, you can encourage them. The real essence is service to the name. And the more your attention can go to service to the name when you're doing kirtan, you'll have a higher experience. You'll have a happier experience. You'll have an experience that is beyond your imagination and expectation. It's just not of this world. But if you don't have that, then you'll have a of this world mix. And I'll just end with this. I heard it twice from Madhava Prabhu that he has this vow. He kind of doesn't like the fact that there's lots of young people that like kirtan and won't chant japa. So he tells them, like, you know, challenging kind of, I will not engage in kirtan without having completed my chanting of japa. Because I don't want that mix experience. I want just the holy name experience. So I encourage you all, chant japa before you engage in kirtan. Take shelter of the holy name where it's just you and the holy name in your mind. And if the mind is feeling I'm bored, that's because your mood of service is missing. And the mood of service is ignited, awakened, charged by proper regard for the name. That's what's wanted through the chanting of the holy name. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.